Three.
Yeah, we want more of this angle. What angle do we want? That's it. Three, two, one. And we are live and we are back. Let's go. I'm Corey, your host. One half of the Quarter and Full of Fed podcast. And I'm back like I never left with another installment of Money Mindset here on the Quarter and Full of Fed podcast. We discuss health and wealth, finance and fitness and everything in between. And we want to make sure you save more and say less and keep making better your best. Yes, yes. And I know y'all see the topic of today's video. We're gonna talk about people have enough money to retire or not. We talked about on the last episode. I know the last episode was a ways away, but I still got the smaller clips. And this one's going to drop way late at night on a Friday. But we talked about the last episode about how much money you needed to be in the middle class. And one of the big markers of people feeling like they can live that middle class lifestyle is being able to retire. So today we're going to get into some numbers. We're going to go to Old Faithful and get into CNBC and talk about how much money is needed to retire. All right. My bad, y'all. I locked the house up like my wife is home and she's not home. Anyways, and again, on the Money Mindset, we get straight to the financial information, no filler in between. That's what I'm supposed to say. And I know y'all see the topic of today's video. We're going to get into how much money you need to retire. But before we get started, make sure y'all comment, like, share, and subscribe. Shout out to the YouTube algorithm. Make sure you leave those rate and views on the podcast platforms as well. My information, as well as my co-host Jordan information, can be found in the description. Look at me. I'm out of breath. Run up the stairs and everything. And again, appreciate y'all continuing to leave the comments, continuing to run the numbers up. Again, doing our best to respond within like 24 hours or so. As long as it doesn't violate the YouTube guidelines, y'all can say whatever you want. All right, so Jordan and I, we truly do appreciate it. Monthly car payment. We're going to talk about it in April. I'm bringing back in April. Student loans again. We starting to heat up. We get into April. It's about to be May. As far as the presidential election. So we're going to see if there's some more crazy stuff about student loans. There's always something about forgiveness, stuff getting forgiven, but we're talking about big, major stuff like the mass forgiveness that President Biden was talking about. All right, but last but not least, this is for entertainment purposes only. Myself, nor Jordan, nor finance professionals. Anything you hear is for entertainment purposes only, and you need to reach out to a professional and do your own research before taking any action. One of the negatives I'm not recording and, you know, missing days is that I forget, you know, like my muscle memory sort of gets a little weak. But all right, y'all, let's get started. Can you retire? And like I said, we're going to CNBC. So let me go ahead and share the screen. One thing I've never learned how to do, no matter how much I record, is like share the screen in like a clean and functional way. Here we go. All right, y'all, boom. Americans think they need almost 1.5 million to retire. Experts say to focus on another number instead. This is April 15, 2023, when it was published and last updated. This is Monday of this week. Now, I'm interested to see, like, when this says Americans, what age this is. My guess is this is the general number for all Americans. But are we talking about millennials and younger? Nah, this number is well over 1.5 million for millennials. But if it's people are going to retire in the next 5 years or so, people in their late 50s, early 60s thinking about retiring, then yeah, 1.5 million relative where you live out in the country, things of that nature should be enough, assuming you have no debt. Please do not retire with a mortgage. All right, anyways, Americans' magic number savings goal for retirement has increased by over 50% since 2020. So in 2020, it was 750,000. No. But experts say the secret to building true wealth is having a high savings rate. Oh, the secret is, yes, having a high, by definition, the more money you save, you would think the more money you have, right? But it's also continuously investing. So putting money in, not stopping once you put the money in and not taking the money out until it's time to take the money out for whatever the desired purpose is. Look at this pretty little white couple. All right. Oh, my bad. Wait, hold on. And this is by Lori Conish. All right, here we go. When it comes to retirement, Americans have a new number in mind, 1.46 million for how much they think they will need to live comfortably, according to new research from Northwestern Mutual, South Northwestern Mutual. Estimate is up, okay, 53% since 2020. Americans said they need Jeez, I did that math wrong. When I said 750, that was 100%. Anyways, 950,000 was in 2020 as the cost of living has surged in certain recent areas. It's also up 15% from last year. My goodness. MC, inflation is not that high. But hey, retirement is retirement. I mean, you're talking about you're not working at all. In theory, is my assumption when they're talking about this retirement number here, this 1.46 million, not retiring. I mean, not working at all during retirement. Yeah, you're probably going to want more than what inflation is. And then also depends on whether or not you're receiving Social Security, how much of this is, you know, 401k, so it's pre-tax and a Roth 401k, a taxable brokerage account, all these type of things, you know, important, whether or not you're coming from a job with a pension for people who still have jobs with that. All of that's going to factor into how much money you're going to need when you retire. Where do you want to retire at? Some people's kids move away from them and they decide they want to move closer to their kids because, you know, they have grandkids now. All these type of factors play in here. Up 15% from last year when they said they need 1.27 million. For many savers, that goal may sound daunting, particularly as U.S. adults have an average of 88,000, so almost 90,000 currently saved toward retirement. Study found, likewise, a recent CNBC survey showed that 53% of Americans feel like they are behind in retirement savings. Yeah, most people are behind. Most people are behind when it comes to retirement. And it's not even just your retirement savings, it's just your overall financial planning or estate planning, whatever you want to call it, when it gets to that retirement phase. When I'm working with my clients, when we do the very first intro meeting, I have a list of questions they ask, and I ask them, and I ask them two separate times about what, in short, they want their long-term goals to be and what they think retirement looks like for them in the future. Because if you aim at nothing, you hit it every time. And one of the big issues people have is that they don't have any semblance of a plan of what they want their life to look like in the retirement years. I mean, people complain that retirement age is getting raised, all these different type of things. But at some point in time in general, you want to, quote unquote, let's just say, stop working. What do you want that period of life to look like for you? I mean, is that simple? This is a question for you to answer, not for any of us to answer it for you. All right. However, experts say having a magic number in mind should not be a priority when planning for your retirement. No, I wouldn't say a magic, I like the quote unquote magic number. Whew. Got to sneeze. A magic number. Excuse me. There we go. Yeah, you hate when you sneeze, pump fake you. Anyways, I wouldn't say it's a magic number, but you do need a number. You need something to aim for. The number isn't the emphasis, said John Rowland, a certified financial planner and private wealth advisor. Okay, Northwestern Mutual, Beyond Financial Advisors and Sponsorship. That retirement number is really just a starting point for a broader conversation on how to make clear, competent decisions in that phase of your financial life when you're distributing money versus when you're accumulating money. Okay, true. Mason, what's the person's name? John. Okay. I can agree with John on that. All right. Fidelity Investments, the nation's largest provider of 401k plans, has moved away from providing broad estimates for what is needed to retire, said Rita Asaf, I believe, vice president of retirement products at Fidelity. That's a big dog position. There is no one size fits all. True. It depends. Again, well, it's how much you should invest is based off your income. Since everyone's income is different, how much you should invest as far as the whole dollar amount, not the percentage, is going to be different for everybody. Then on top of that, the lifestyle you want in retirement, most people usually want to do more when they get to retirement as far as traveling, things of that nature, lifestyle type of spending. So that you have to add that into the factor. Then the big thing that people don't usually like to think about is your health. You lose your health insurance, you can get, you know, marketplace health insurance, but your health insurance is usually provided through your employer. So you use that. Shout out to people who do their 20 years in the military and keep that TRICARE for life. But you have to also factor in what you're doing now from a health standpoint and what that's going to look like when you get older. I mean, all of our bodies deteriorate as we get older. That's just how it works. Retirement, I mean, not to be a negative Nancy, but retirement means, in short, from an age standpoint, you're close to death. I mean, that's in short what that means. You're getting closer to the later years in your life. So it's likely that your health is in the worst condition it's ever been in your life. And you have to think about all those costs that may come up. And we want people, we talk about health and wealth on here, finance and fitness. We want y'all to be as healthy as possible, but you don't need to operate in a state of ignorance when it comes to what your health's going to be like at your retirement age. Be aware of how you're eating right now in your younger years, how you're exercising, all those different type of things as far as your lifestyle from a health standpoint. All right. Vice President Rita Soft said, your income likely differs from other people. Not likely, it does. Other factors such as how much of your income you hope to replace in retirement, where you plan to live, okay, lifestyle you plan to have, your health. I did not read these articles ahead of time. Your healthcare costs, again, and longevity, and will all impact the actual number you will need. Again, I do not read these articles ahead of time. It just is what it is. It really depends. I hate when they have those pop-ups. It really depends on your personal situation, as Soft said. We do think having a retirement plan helps with that, but it's got to be a personal retirement plan. Yeah, I wouldn't say have a number, meaning once you get to 1 million, you're good. I would say try to save as much as possible. That would just be, and I mean, that's like, you know, duh, Corey. But paying down your debt, paying off your debt, getting your house paid off. That's the one I would say in retirement, when you're talking about retirement, having your house paid off is a big factor. Not just for your net worth, but so your burn rate isn't as high. All right, especially how much people complain about how much property tax is going up. Shout out if you got that 100% P&T, or it's 100% depending on the state you live in, and you don't got to pay taxes, but property taxes. But man, you know, you have to factor that in as well. Some people, some people might still have a HELOC because they use the HELOC so that their kids can go to college, or they still have parent plus loans they need to pay. Like, all of that needs to be factored in. The number of experts say to focus on. Financial advisors agree that having a high savings rate along with appropriate asset allocations is one of the most significant components of building wealth. That's the number to focus on, they say. Yes, how much money you're saving on a monthly basis. Fidelity provides a framework, okay, balance retirement progress. Framework includes saving your salary by age 30. See, one of the issues with that is that for someone like myself, my income has scaled so much. You know, my income more than tripled from the time I started working at 23, technically 24 years old, before the time I turned 30. So it's like, you know, I wasn't the money I was making early on in my career. I'm still early on in my career, technically. Turned 31 this year. But earlier in the beginning wouldn't put me in a position to have as much as I'm making right now at age 30. So it's something that stuff like that you have to factor in. By 30, you need to have your salary, which then increases to twice your salary by age 35. My goodness. Three times by 40, and continues to go up until the goal of 10 times by age 67. If you make $100,000, say you have that invested by 30, I don't know if you're compounding, because so much can happen in 5 years where you might have to be recovering from something like the Panorama, but I don't. Doubling in 5 years is a lot. Those rules, 72, right? 72 divided by 5. 72 divided by 10. Yes, you can get into 14-15% return of those 5 years if you contribute nothing. That's okay. Anyways, I'm not saying that number is wrong from a math standpoint, but that is, you know, that's a lot. That may or may not be feasible. Yeah, as I'm, you know, discussing right now, depending on where you're at, Asaf said, of the savings goals, but it just gives an easier view of what to do. The framework assumes that the investor will start saving at age 25 and save 15%. And again, so here we go, Fidelity Investments, 15%. They're saying is the number how much you need to save annually until retirement age from age 25. It's that simple. So again, that's 15% by the way of your growth. So if you make $100,000, you save 15% off rip. So that's $85,000 you got. All right. Then if you somebody, you know, if you tie things like that, whatever, it's another 10%. Now you have 75% when you equate taxes. Let's just say your taxes $85,000 and you're married. So you mean that 12% range. That's just, it's not exactly that, but let's just call it 10%. That's 25% you got gone. So you have $75,000 and you got to pay for healthcare. So you're closer to spending 50% of what you make versus 100% of what you make than you think. When you start, if you're investing 15% of your gross. Recent retirement research. Oh, we got Fidelity and Vanguard in the same article. From Vanguard recommends that workers ramp up their annual retirement savings rate to 12% to 15% of their incomes and invest in appropriate asset mix. Okay. For their ages, we're talking about asset mix. In short, what they're saying is how aggressive your portfolio should or should not be, or how conservative it should be based off your age. Long story short, the older you are, the more conservative your portfolio should be. The younger you are, the more aggressive you can be, because when you're younger, you can deal with being an aggressive portfolio because you have time to recoup your losses. That's just a general mindset behind it. So if you do something like a target date fund where, you know, saying you're going to retire in 2025 or 2030 or 2065, something like that, the ones that have the years that are further away, they're going to be more aggressive than the ones, you know, the retirement years, you know, 2025. So next year, that's going to be extremely conservative, a lot of bonds in that type of portfolio in general. I haven't looked at every single thing out there. Doing so, though, for that type of asset mix based off of, you know, your profile can help improve your sustainable investment rate, the highest level of pre-retirement income they can replace. All right. John Rowland is saying, I would much rather have clients that save 15% of their income and get a 5% rate of return than save 1% of their income and get a 15%. Yes, that's simple math. Same client here, by the way, right? They can't be different clients. He said that to save money, you need to not spend it. Okay, necessities, debt payments, investments, lifestyle. Yeah, to save money, don't spend it. You can save, you can invest, you can invest. You can spend it, you can give it away, however you want to look at it. This is a concept, save your money, not spend it, emphasized in the book, The Millionaire Next Door. Is that? I don't know if I bought that book yet. I got so many books to read, I'm behind. Anyways, many people who have significant wealth, you would never know because they don't look visibly wealthy, Roland said. Those are the people that, as they save and accumulate wealth, oftentimes have accumulated more than they ever anticipated, he said. If setting your retirement savings deferral rate to 15% now feels like too much of a financial stretch, you may instead try to boost your contributions by 1% per year. Experts say incremental increases can make a big difference in the long run. Let's just read more. Nothing for the read more. All right, y'all. That's it, y'all. Locked and loaded. Quick article here again. Americans think. Okay, can I get to the? Where did it go? What the hell? Where'd my article go? I don't know what happened, y'all. Okay, anyways, Americans think they need almost 1.5 million to retire. Experts say to focus on another number instead. Yes, your savings rate. I mean, your savings rate is how much money you're putting in. So let me just go to the investment calculator to better, you know, illustrate what they're saying. This is just the easiest one. Pull up, I gotta share my screen again. But in short, what they're saving is, don't worry about, you know, and I like this calculator because it gives you all these various options and it has a bunch of other calculators on here. But they're not just saying, hey, so it says target goal. What's the target goal one? Here. So it says, they're saying, don't worry about your target goal. So let's say $1 million. Let's say, you know, you're starting at 0%. You're 25 years old. And you're going to invest for 40 years and retire at age 64. Now that's why I'm moving to 70. Let's say you're going to invest for 45 years. Let's do a conservative investment of 6% as far as conservative rate of return. Excuse me. So they're saying, don't worry about what you're trying to hit your target. At one point, let's do 1.5 million. Here, stick with the example. They're saying, don't worry about that 1.5 million. Instead, realize that you need to invest $572. All right. And then if we do the math here real quick. Jesus. All right. And then we got 572 divided by 15 to figure out. So you need to make $3,813. A month, which is going to come out to four. Ain't no way. Hold on. Is that right? Yep. 5 by 12. Yep. So you got to make less than $25 an hour. This, I always say I need to set my books up. This is what they'd be talking about. Like, it's y'all. And by the way, that's what a 6% return. Like that, which is a very conservative return. Now, 15% is the same for everybody, as far as the same percentage for everyone. But hey, y'all saw the math right there. $50,000 in short will get you to over $1 million if you invest for 45 years. And that's the one thing I believe I said before. I've already said this before. If I haven't said it before, the years is what makes compound interest become so powerful. So again, the rule of 72, you take, 72 divided by the rate of return, and that's how long it's going to take for that money to double. So in short, I did 60% on there, but you hear most people say, do your best to pick things that have, you know, a 10-year average of 10% return. And so with the rule of 72, that means every 7 years, if you don't contribute any money, your portfolio is going to double. But if you look at that on a 40, or in this example, 45-year runway as far as investing, what you invest for the first 30 years, it will double in short by year 37. That's not exactly how it works, because technically you're 28, then double when you're 35. But no matter how much money you make or how much money you invest, you need to continuously invest for 30 years before you actually build up any amount of money based on how much you're investing or how much your income is, whatever it is. It's 30 years for everybody, regardless, even if you're a billionaire, it's 30 years. And so the benefit of investing early enough as far as in your 20s is you have more runway or more room, just math wise, to get to 40 years before you hit 70. I mean, if you start investing when you're 30, you're at zero, and you're at 30, you got to invest for 40 years to, you know, and you'll be 70 then. But if you can start investing in your early 20s at 22, 23, or at least at 25 age, 25 plus 40 is 65. I mean, 65 is still relatively young if you keep up with your health. Shout out to Court and Full Effect podcast. We discuss health and wealth. A lot of the issues that people don't take care of their health, and your health is wealth. And so you have medical issues that handicap is not the right word, but in short are hurting you the whole time when you're trying to build this wealth. And that's why I talked about, yes, it's important how much you invest or how much you make, percentage, whatever it is, but making sure however much money you can invest, that 572 in this example, you have to continuously put that 572 away every single month for 45 years and not take away from it. That's the part that people don't do. So 401k loans, things of that nature, when people take out, that messes up the whole math. That math on that calculator is investing $572 every month at a 6% return for 45 years and not taking away from it. That's how you get the $1.5 million. But that's not what a lot of people do. People make use of their 401k loans, or they take hardships, or whatever it is, the panorama happens, and so you can take the money out. All these various things, and that is not what this article or most financial advisors, when you hear them talking, retirement investors, retirement planners, whatever it is, people talk about. The same reason I said when people are talking about, you know, what you're supposed to spend your money on in retirement, they're not talking about you should spend your money when you're in retirement age, when you take your withdrawal, you're taking out of your 401k balance to make sure you spend that money on your house down payment. That's not what they're talking about. All right. So those are the type of things that millennials and Gen Z people coming up, or people trying to start investing in their retirement, or even people in their 50s, you're 50 or older, so you're in that catch-up, you're at the catch-up contribution age. These are things you need to think about. If you're in your early 60s, you're over retirement age, and you're thinking about retiring here soon, these are things you need to equate into your math equation when you're thinking about how you're going to take your withdrawals from your retirement and what you're going to spend your money on, all right? That's it, y'all. Locked and loaded. End of the episode. End of the episode. Make sure you comment, like, share, and subscribe. Make sure you leave those rating reviews on the podcast platforms as well. One thing, too. People don't accept how much money they need now, how much money they need to make now to live. I can guarantee you it is going to cost more money when you retire to live the current lifestyle you're living now than how much stuff costs right now. That's just how inflation works. Prices are going to continue to go up. How much? I don't know, but I can guarantee you inflation is going to continue to curve. Y'all still want to have this country here. It's going to keep happening. And so one of the things to talk about too is that how many luxuries become necessities, right? So as millennials, our grandparents didn't have to pay for cell phone bills. They didn't have to pay for Wi-Fi. It wasn't out. It didn't exist yet. And so there are so many things now that we have to pay for as technology continues to advance. I just think, what is the iPhone equivalent as far as technology or dollar amount? Definitely not and dollar amount. But what was the technological equivalent or the dollar amount equivalent of an iPhone for millennials when millennials were growing up as children, for Gen X, for baby boomers? There is nothing. I had a Nintendo 64, but that, I mean, that costs less than what an iPhone costs now. There are children now who have iPad, iPhone, Mac, iMac, or MacBook Pro, or MacBook. They have all these various things. You have an iPad, you have an iPad now because you got your iPhone. And they have the gaming system. So I'm thinking, we didn't have all that. I mean, I had a CD player. Right? And you got put a CD in. You better hope it's a banger, right? And you better hope, if you know, don't go to Walmart because they say it's a parental advisory, but then they still have songs in there that's censored. Anyways, there are so many things now that we take for granted as luxuries, and we view them as needs, and that are worked into our budget financially. I'm like, how many people we got put on the cell phone plan? Now everybody needs a cell phone. And then now the cell phones don't last as long as they last, we're more ingrained to get them more frequently. How many, if the cell phone is short, iPhone, most people got an iPhone, if it's $1,000 and you're a family of four, that's $4,000 in iPhones you're spending. Some people get it every year, right? You know, you do the iPhone plan or whatever it is, or if you get it every 2 years, right? But I mean, just think about that in and of itself, that cost. And then you got the cell phone bill attached to it, right? You got to have cloud storage. Let's talk about cloud storage, how that's becoming just more and more common than people were paying for. Cloud storage wasn't a thing when these devices first came out. It's like, oh, which means I need cloud storage. It's like, look, if you ain't got enough memory, you got to start deleting stuff. I mean, you can still do that now, but right? There's all these expenses that continuously get added into our budget. They transform from luxuries into necessities. Not like they actually do, but as far as how much we get used to them. I'm looking at the Wi-Fi router right now. I'm thinking, and then you talk about all these devices as well, or like, you know, all the devices that are hooked up to your Wi-Fi. It's like you might need two Wi-Fi routers you got to pay for now. Like, it's because, you know, you're working from home, all this different type of stuff. If you got two kids, right, they each have an iPhone, they each have an iPad, and then they each have a MacBook, right? That's six devices right there. And so they each have a console. That's eight devices already on your Wi-Fi, right? Then you got a cell phone, your spouse got a cell phone. Like, you had double digits. Then all the TVs are smart TVs, or all the TVs are hooked up now to the Wi-Fi. You got your work computer, your spouse work computer. You got your personal computer, your spouse got a personal computer. Shit, y'all both might have iPads. Like, when you start adding it up, it gets unreal. It gets unreal. And these are the type of things that people need to be aware of as far as your current lifestyle. So when you get to retirement, you don't want to have less. Most people want to at least live at where they're at right now, or not have more. All right. Again, y'all, that's it. My information, as well as my co-host Jordan information, can be found in the show notes. And one day it will be pinned as a description. Although I like to pin y'all's comments as the pinned comment. We can only have one pinned comment. That's how YouTube works. So I don't know if I actually end up pinning a comment, but it is, all of our information is in the description. All right. Again, you can reach out to Jordan for the fitness information Monday, Wednesday, or Friday. Look, you got to sign up. Classes on Monday, Wednesday, or Friday, where you can sign up for the 5:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time virtual training sessions. And I'm still going to promote it because I don't know if Jordan's taking more in-person clients. But if you live in the general Hartford County area, and because, you know, the Key Bridge is no longer there for, you know, however many, 5, 10 years, whatever, and so you can't come, you know, down to Anne Arundel County or whatever because traffic is crazy, go to the Hartford County area and stop stalling Jay, I believe. You know, tell him I sent you. But Jordan is back to doing his in-person training sessions. All right. Then for myself, you can reach out for the financial coaching information as well. I'm Silent_Corey on the socials. All right. That's it, y'all. Again, if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, please leave a comment, DM us, reach out. We love doing this for y'all. And Jordan keeps saying, like, yo, we need to get Saint back on schedule. I'm like, yo, you let me know. I mean, you know, 10:17 p.m. It is. The issue with Jordan is that his office is next to his son's room. And so I don't know if he's going to be able to be himself without waking up his son. But, you know, I don't know what the case is over there. But all right, y'all, that's it. Remember to save more and say less. Keep making better your best. And I'll catch y'all in the next one.